When a salmon is caught in Bristol Bay, it's difficult to know where it came from. That's long been a challenge to fishery managers in Bristol Bay and worldwide. New research on the Nooshagak River, one of the largest king salmon runs in the world, uses chemical tags in a fish's ear bone to tell where it was born and raised. KDLG's Hannah Colton reports.
In the summer of 2011, Sean Brennan spent a lot of time on the docks of Peter Pan Seafoods in Dillingham. He was dissecting the heads of salmon that were on their way to be processed. He collected ear bones from about 250 Chinook salmon.
Which involves cutting off the top of their head. And so you just take your tweezers, you reach below the brain, and you pull out the sac and the entire otolith.
He's saying otolith. That's the term used by scientists for the ear bone. Brennan and his team also headed up to the upper Nooshagak River to collect ear bones from juvenile fish in the streams there.
We would take out their tiny little otoliths as well.
He was interested in the ear bone because it contains an important clue about where the fish lived in streams and rivers before migrating to the ocean. That clue is called strontium. It's a chemical element found in bedrock.
But not all strontium is created equal, so some of the strontium in Earth is heavier, and some of the strontium is lighter.
Those different types of strontium are called isotopes. They're like different shades of strontium that show up in different types of rocks. Water flows over those rocks all the time. The river picks up the strontium, which makes its way into the bodies of fish.
The different stretches of rivers that the fish are in are essentially tagging the otolith at that particular time in that fish's life.
So you end up with these slightly different strontium layers on the ear bone, and researchers can read them almost like rings on a tree stump. Brennan has been using his ear bone data to put together a map of different types of strontium in different areas of the Nooshagak watershed. What he wanted to know was,
can you use this tracer to actually figure out where fish came from and which habitats they used while they were in the freshwater environment?
And as it turns out, he could. Brennan says one exciting result of his research is that he can now identify seven distinct zones, seven different shades of strontium, in the Nooshagak watershed. So
when we catch Chinook salmon in Nooshagak Bay, we now have the ability to determine which of those seven groups produced that particular fish.
Scientists like Brennan say this is a big deal. Other tracing methods, like genetics, paint much broader strokes. There's just not much genetic variation between kings in Bristol Bay. But the strontium in a Chinook's ear bone can tell the precise tributary where that fish hatched and how long it stayed there. Brennan found that most Nooshagak Chinook stay in their natal streams until they head for open ocean. But some make a move.
About 20% of the catch showed that they stayed in the same stream that they hatched out of for the majority of the time while they were in the freshwater. But then right before they migrated to the ocean, they moved into the lower mainstem, Nooshagak River, and they reared there for an extended period of time before they migrated into the ocean.
So it's like this little clique of teenage salmon have a hangout spot that scientists didn't know much about before.
And I guess what's interesting about that is that the common thought is that the lower Nooshagak River doesn't necessarily produce that many fish.
These new results, he says, cast the lower Nooshagak in a different light. They show it's actually home to about a fifth of young Chinook for a significant time in their lives. So what else could Brennan's strontium isotope tracking method be used for? USGS ecologist Chris Zimmerman, who advised on the study, says it could help fisheries all over the state better understand year-to-year changes.
One of the things we hear throughout Western Alaska is when we see declines, it's a bit of a surprise. And our hope is to better understand how freshwater habitats relate to productivity.
Brennan and Zimmerman hope this isotope tracking research will take some of that surprise out of the equation, helping predict the changes that may affect salmon runs.
You wouldn't find a year where commercial fishing or subsistence fishing had to be regulated like it has been on the Kuskokwim. Communities would have an idea that something like that was happening.
That's a few years off. For now, Brennan and his team have a few more ear bones to pick. The University of Washington team plans to study Chinook for a couple more years and add sockeye to the mix. Reporting in Dillingham, I'm Hannah Colton.